Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. "But Mary stood without," or outside, "at the sepulchre," or gravestone, whatever, "weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth," or saw, "two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not," or didn't understand, didn't recognize, "that it was Jesus." Jesus saith unto her, verse 15, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Why are you crying, and who are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Taken from this passage and the old vaudeville joke, the title of my sermon is, "That's funny, he doesn't look like Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give us understanding. Please, Lord, as they said in the gospel, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Please give us understanding, and we ask for the power of God to touch our hearts. As Paul said, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. Please give us a touch of the Spirit. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. This is a very strange story. It's a very strange story. This was Mary. There were three Marys, as we understand. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was Martha and Mary. And the Bible says that there was the other Mary, whoever that was. She testified, "Look, if you'll tell me where the body is, I'll take care of it. I'll watch after it. I'll make sure that it's properly buried." In another place, it says they came with spices because they were rushed, whatever, during the Passover. They came to do the preparation. They didn't embalm, but they had some kind of thing that they did. They were going to do it afterwards. She cared about the body. Well, obviously, this is Mary and Martha. We understand Martha was all busy with serving and doing and, "Man, can you set the table," and whatever. But Jesus said that this woman chose the good part, which wouldn't be taken away. She followed him for a year or two, 3 years, I don't know. I know that he was ministering for 3.5. In a minute, we're going to talk about the disciples. They knew him for 3.5 years, if we're sure of that. But when he rose from the dead and said, "Hey, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She didn't recognize him. That's very strange. But then, when he called her name, she recognized the sound of her name from his mouth. And then she realized, oh, that's the Lord. We need God to speak to us. We need God to speak to us. Apart from religion. Apart from church. Apart from, well, I come to church. And it doesn't matter what church you go to, they're going to sing. And maybe the deacon's going to do something. They're going to take up an offering, maybe a special hymn. And the guy's going to get up and preach. And later on, there's some kind of an invitation or altar call. And then, you know, we're going to go ahead and go have lunch. Every Sunday. You do something like that here down the road at the Baptist church, the Methodist church, doesn't matter. They all do about the same thing. And too often, people in the pews, we say that they can't see the forest for the trees. They see a couple of trees and their attention is focused on that, but they don't understand that there's a whole forest, a bunch of woods. And it disturbs me that most of the time in most churches, people are caught up in the things that they know. But they miss, just like Mary, they miss the Lord. That's not a popular message. You don't want to hear that. I mean, most people are proud of their churches. Most people, you know, you couldn't get them to go to the other denomination. They kick and scream and whatever, and they just don't want to do it. But there's something here. She heard his voice calling her name. And I'm going to develop this in the sermon, but there's a necessity, the absolute necessity of relying upon the Word of God. Go a few verses up from here, verse 6. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him." This is before Mary got there. "And went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple," and it's John, he never refers to himself, "which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." He saw the tomb empty for himself, and he believed. Remember, Jesus told Thomas, "Yeah, but that's fine. But what about all those guys that are never going to see me? Yet they believe." That's you and me. I mean, Jesus didn't appear to me, and, you know, I might have seen a vision here or there, but he didn't come physically to me. The only thing I know is from the book, right? The only thing I know is me reading it or studying it or hearing somebody study it or preach it. It's from the book. But it says that the other disciple came in and he saw and believed, for in verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." He makes mention of the scripture. It doesn't make mention of, well, this is the book of John, so John, the guy that wrote the book of John, read the book of John and knew what he was going to, no. They knew from the Old Testament, but they didn't understand that scripture just yet. But the New Testament, we have the benefit of reading about what Jesus did. He went to the Sea of Galilee. He walked on the water. He fed the 5. He did all of these things, and we can read about it after the fact. And by all means, the New Testament is the Word of God. But in these New Testament times, they always referred to the Old Testament. That's what we call it. The original 39 books. Jesus told the Pharisees that the scriptures testify of me, he said. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And well, what scripture is that? Well, we can start with, everybody knows this, Jonah. Everybody knows that is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, Daniel in the lion's den, he was as good as dead. And he was put there with the stone on top. Just like Jesus had a stone on top, right? And the next day, he was alive. We know these stories, and in the Psalms and other places, it specifically will spell out that he would rise from the dead. But they didn't understand the scriptures. And these are the guys that Simon Peter and John, from day one, they were there 3.5 years. Every time he preached a sermon, Jesus, they were there. I don't know what they did. I don't know what they did. If they took up an offering, these were the guys that did it. If somebody, you know, Jesus is busy and then somebody wanted to talk, well, they would go to his disciples and talk. They were sent out, Luke chapter 9, to preach. They knew. They knew. They were the guys. But they didn't know the scriptures where it says that Jesus would rise from the dead. He would tell them. For instance, in John, after the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, look, guys, I'm going to be crucified. Pharisees going to do this and that, and I'm going to rise from the dead. He said it. And they said, no. Don't even say that. Don't say that you're going to die. What are you, crazy? People don't talk like, right? That's exactly what he said. That's exactly the response. And Jesus replied, he said, get behind me, you adversary, Satan. Because I came here to do a job, which is to die for the sins of the world. And you to say, no, don't talk about dying. That's not what Jesus came for. Again, the scriptures, the Old Testament testifies over and over and over again that Jesus would die for the sins of the world and rise again. But they didn't know the scriptures. There's a similar passage in Luke chapter 24. You can start off verse 1, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, whatever spices, we talked about that. The two men, shining garments, the two angels. But it says that the angels said this, and they said, I guess here in verse 6, for he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake to you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must also be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So we know that Jesus said it. The angels are testifying that Jesus said it. And it says here in verse 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Now, Jesus wasn't Old Testament. He was actually speaking, but we know that if God speaks, that's good enough. For me, that's the word of God. So when Mary heard the voice of Christ, when Peter and John, they saw the empty tomb, but they didn't understand the scriptures that said he would rise from the dead. And then here in Luke, they are remembering the word of God. Then they say, okay, we get it. We understand that he's going to rise from the dead. And what do you know he did? What's the point? We have to go to the word of God. We have to go to the word of God to understand the things of God. In one place it says that these things are spiritually discerned. Now, in a lot of churches, the teaching is good. A lot of churches, the teaching ain't good. But a lot of the churches, the teaching is okay. You'll find what I've said. You'll find it. And it pretty much mirrors what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me get the verse here. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I had received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Peter and the 12 and etc. And he goes on. But Paul referred to the Scriptures. Paul did not refer to the book of Matthew. I mean, maybe that was written by then, but that's not what they did. They went to the Old Testament. And from the Old Testament, that's where Paul got all of his understanding. We understand that the new covenant was pretty much revealed to Paul, and he's the one that put it all in the New Testament for us, the epistles. He got his understanding from the old when he wrote the new. Jeremiah chapter 31, that we get a new covenant. Well, that's where he got it from. He got it from Jeremiah and other places. He went to the Bible to get his understanding, to get his messages, to get his all the material that he put into the epistles, whatever. That's where he got it from. He got it from the Old Testament. One more place. Actually, this same chapter, Luke chapter 24. You've probably heard of the two that went on the road to Emmaus. It was 60 furlongs or whatever. It was about 7.5 miles away. You can think of how far it is when you drive home, how far 7.5 miles is. They walked it. And you say, oh, it's a long way. Well, back when all you had was you might own a horse, or probably you're going to walk. Walking 7-8 miles ain't no big deal. They did it every day of their life. But these two disciples in verse 13, they went to a village called Emmaus. And they talked together of the things which had happened. And it says that while it came to pass, or while they were talking, they were walking along the way, that but Jesus himself drew near. Again, this is after he rose from the dead. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Just like Mary, until Jesus called her name, she didn't recognize. Remember, this is Mary and Martha. Remember, this is the sister of Lazarus. Remember that it says that he whom thou loveth is sick. So these were close to him. Obviously, the disciples, Peter and John, were close to him. These others, I don't know who they were, doesn't mention. Maybe it was part of the 70, maybe, I don't know. But they should have known who kind of veered toward them and fell in step and started walking and talking with them. They should have known, but they didn't recognize him. That's something to think about. All of these people who, you know, if I don't know any famous people, but let's say I knew a famous guy, maybe he was a movie star or whatever, and I watched all his movies, and I'm in the supermarket one day, and you know, I'm from New Orleans, and it's common to see people in the French Quarter, because a lot of them live there, a lot of the movies are made there, it's common to see people. Maybe you'd see, oh, that's my favorite movie star, right? Well, that's just a movie star. They got makeup and they got, you know, clothes and all this stuff and to make him look like something else. But you can still recognize that's the movie star. The disciples were everywhere with him for year after year after year. Why didn't they recognize? I'm going to say it again. It makes people mad. People get all caught up in church and what they do in church and what they always do in church. And they get distracted. It's supposed to be about the Lord. And yeah, they sing about the Lord and, you know, and we got this missions offering and, you know, and all of this stuff. That's all fantastic. I'm not against any of it, but we lose sight of the Lord. That's why as a Pentecostal preacher, I cry, God, please touch the heart God, please do something. Help people to understand what I'm teaching on. That they would see Jesus Christ. That the Spirit of God would move upon them and maybe they'd come to the altar or maybe whatever. But somehow, Lord, break through. That's what I did this morning. That's what I do every time I preach. That God would somehow do something greater than me, greater than your pastor, greater than any preacher, but that God Himself would touch the heart. We've got to have that. We've got to have that. And I'll say again, the only way to see Him is through the Scriptures. There are preachers, there are a lot of preachers nowadays that if they say that they're word preachers, they preach prosperity, they preach the gospel of greed. You cannot find Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of greed. You can't do it. I could talk about any number of different false ways. He said that He hates every false way. But the television is full of false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. Jesus mentioned in Revelation, He said, you've tried the false apostles. They claimed that they were, and you've tested them, and you've gone to the book, and you said, well, I know what the book says, and I don't know what he's saying, but I know what the book says. Those guys must be false. You have that responsibility. Remember Paul, he went to Berea. You know the story. You know what a Berean is. You know what I'm going to say. It's your responsibility to do, in effect, what those Bereans did. They said, Paul, that's great. I really enjoyed that sermon, but let me see that book you're reading out of. You got two or three of these lying around the house, don't you? You should know it. There's not going to be any excuse. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, but my preacher, no. You have a responsibility. Yourself. For knowing the Word of God, yourself. You don't understand it. Well, go to the pastor and say, I don't understand this part. There are a few good preachers, I guess, on the radio that you can learn from. J. Vernon McGee, you're not going to find much wrong with him. If you want to know the Word of God, you can. In fact, if you want, you can do what it says. If any man lacks understanding, let him ask of God, and God gives liberally and upbraideth not. Or don't, He don't give you no grief for trying to ask, Lord, give me understanding. We have to know the Word of God for ourselves. But these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were walking and talking about the resurrection or talking about this or that. And Jesus got in step with them and walked a couple of miles, whatever it was. And there's this whole conversation recorded. But it says, let me see if I can find it. In verse 25, He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Again, He pointed them to the Word of God. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village. And He wanted to go further, it says, and they finally made Him stay for supper. But remember Mary, she didn't understand. She thought that Jesus was the gardener until she heard her name called. It says that Jesus went in, had supper with him, and just like He always did, and you can find this all over the New Testament, it says that He took bread and blessed it and break and gave. Then their eyes were opened. Then they saw. And then it says, after, you know, all those miles and the supper time and they were talking and whatever, all the food was being cooked and whatever, all these hours that He was with them, when they finally saw, then he vanished. Well, I guess He's gone, but you know, didn't our hearts burn within us while He talked with us in the way? When He was talking about talked about Moses, talked about David, talked about who knows where, wherever Jesus went in explaining the Old Testament, didn't our hearts burn within us?
So all that time before their eyes were open, that whole, those few hours, they felt something in their heart. But then the light went on, and then they understood, because they recognized something that Jesus did every time he ate. Verse 44. Again, this is Luke chapter 24. Jesus appeared again. There were some other folks there. And he said in verse 44, "These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses." There he goes again, referring people to the scriptures. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations." And it talks about waiting for the promise of the Father, the Spirit of God, that gives them power to do that, to preach. But in this whole sermon of mine, you find us being pointed to the Scriptures. Now again, they, in their particular time, they refer to the Old Testament. You've got 27 new books. 66 in all. And all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, what have you. But we must understand the scriptures. We must understand it. We must somehow see the Lord in spite of, again, the trees. We need to get the forest. In spite of, well, they're going to take up the offer in a few minutes. In spite of all of that, we've somehow got to see Christ.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.